Welcome to That Pixel Life. This is episode 121, recording January 3rd, 2021. We did it. We made it out of 2020, despite what Shannon might have told you about gloom and doom and all of the chaos that was coming. My name is Zach Anderson, and this is That Pixel Life. Joining me, as always, Mr. Shannon Moore.
For a pessimist, I'm pretty optimistic, sir. Just saying.
You're very optimistic that shit's going to go wrong.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
Right, I'm with you. Someone who actually unironically shares an unbridled, you know, positive attitude with the world. He keeps that PMA all day. Mr. Justin Time Carter.
Yeah, dude, I'm still, you know, coming off the fact that if you didn't listen to last week's episode, definitely go listen to it. But top three, two games were Nintendo games. I think that's a Pixel Life TPL first.
Yeah, I was pretty shocked by that. But the right game still got Game of the Year, which was Hades, so I was happy. But yeah, just, so
I just want to take a quick break, go into some that fashion life for a little bit.
Sure.
You know, I didn't get to talk about this for like the last couple of weeks because we've been doing other stuff with other people, but I want to talk about Justin's like shoe and shirt game, like from a couple of weeks ago. Like, dude, looks like he came straight out of Elton John's closet with some like neon blue ass shoes with like a powder like pastel like tie dye shirt, like periwinkle blue hat, like just straight up flossing, dude. Like, what is your wardrobe game like these days?
Yeah, dude, it's been great. So yeah, those shoes were my Super Mario Sunshine Puma ones that look like water, and I got from the show Cold Ones and stuff. I got like this like vaporwave shirt that Megan fucking hates it, but luckily she's like, I will not be seen in public with you. And I was like, well, we're just going to Matt's house, so I was like, you know, I could wear it. But and I got some new hats that are like kind of red and black and like that blue and stuff to kind of match the sunshine colors and stuff. And I actually just got a bunch of new shirts today because today starts the Awesome Games Done Quick 2021. Mm. And so the Yeti released a bunch of new shirts and they had a Wario Land one. So I'm like, a fucking course, I have to buy that. And they have a really cute one. It's purple. And it's Luigi and Gooigi, and they're hugging each other, and there's, like, a bunch of booze around them and stuff. And I was like, oh, my God, add to cart. Like, and then the person who did the art for that, she has a Redbubble store, and I was like, oh, no. And I went on there, and I got a Bill Cipher from Gravity Falls shirt today that looks super sick. And, oh, what's the other one? It was, like, Paper Mario? Oh, no, it was Glover. She had a Glover shirt, and it had Glover doing, like, the okay. So I love Glover. Like, I will buy all the Glover merchandise just to prove, like, I'm like, give me that second game that never happened. That's such an underrated gem on the N64.
Man.
Oh, man. Now, do you
subscribe? I don't know anyone else that makes their clothing decisions based around bad games the way you do, Justin. So,
dude, it's a gift and a curse.
It is.
See, buying all the merchandise, I keep hoping Nintendo will notice that merchandise is going up on these games and be like, "All right, I guess there's enough people out there that want this game that we'll make another one."
Here's another cuck that's going to get everything. Yeah,
dude, they had the perfect opportunity with the 3DS to make a Sunshine 2 game where using the 3DS's gyroscope, you can point and aim Flood, and they didn't fucking give it to me. And now they have the perfect opportunity with the Switch to do the exact same thing. They're not giving it to me.
That sounds horrible. Like, you just described, like, the whole gyroscope thing, and I'm just like, no, never.
Like, my insides recoiled the second you said it. I was just like, oh, never.
Like, God, it would be dope. God. Okay, imagine getting the Nintendo Labo, plugging that fucking 6-pound Switch onto your face, sitting in your office chair, and just spinning around and, like, putting stuff out with Flood.
I'm cool. No, I don't know.
Nothing you just said sounds appealing in any way. I mean,
you know, I just it was a hard weekend for me. I just found out that my son eats cinnamon rolls from, like, the top down, like just face in, just like you're, and I was like, what kind of psychopath would do that? And now I know it's the same psychopath that wants motion controls put back into Mario Sunshine.
Dude, that reminds me of that picture of Justin Bieber where it showed him eating a burrito from like the middle sideways, like in the park. And then there was a whole video about how it turns out it wasn't Justin Bieber. It was just some dude that they paid that looked like him to shoot this thing to hopefully go viral. And it did.
That's hilarious. Oh, shit.
That's a very messy way to eat a cinnamon roll.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, extremely messy.
There's like no good way to go about it, though.
Yeah, but I mean, like, from a frosting perspective, I mean, that's like a guarantee every bite is frosting until you get through the frosting. Like, I mean, your first four bites are probably going to be pretty epic. After that, it's just going to be straight Sucksville, depending on the cinnamon roll.
If you're going Cinnabon style, like Cinnabon, I don't know how you pronounce it correctly, you kind of got to fork and knife that. Those are a little too big. You got to pick up and eat. It's such a mess. I don't know. Justin's looking at me like I'm crazy for throwing fork and knife.
I'm getting flashbacks of like in middle school, I'd get the toaster strudel, and it's like those first two toaster strudels, you use all the frosting, yeah. And then the rest of the week, you're just suffering with dry ass toaster strudels until your mom buys more on the weekend.
So true.
Suffering. Toaster strudel suffering. It's my favorite ska band. But yes. Anyway, how was your New Year's, guys?
Well, I mean, it was tame by comparison. Stayed home with a girlfriend. My son was in bed by 7 o'clock. And at midnight, we magically, is like somebody flipped a light switch and we were in the middle of like World War III.
I don't want to know. Okay, that isn't where I thought you were going with that.
No, like I don't know what's going on in like the heart of San Jose, but like, or where people are buying mortars, but I swear to God, if like it was just like kaboom, kaboom, yeah. And like my son amazingly slept through everything. He did not wake up in the middle of the night, which was great. But yeah, it was just, I mean, couldn't even. I was watching Cobra Kai and I could not focus on the show because. Like it sounded like explosions were going off right outside the house.
Wow. Shannon's like living next to some dude who's into like World War II artifacts that has a fucking cannon in his backyard.
How about you, Justin? How was your New Year's?
It was pretty chill. We actually did stay up till probably like 2 a.m, but it was mainly we stayed home. Because usually we stay home with the dogs. Because out of our four dogs, only one of them kind of gets like weird about fireworks and stuff. But when they're in the house, they're fine. But in previous years, we had him like outside and he like loses his shit. And so we were just home, just chilling and stuff. And yeah, pretty much just stayed up until 2. I was playing some Immortals after I picked it up after our game of the year. Since everyone wouldn't shut up about it, I'm like, all right, I'll pay the $40 on Switch and pull the trigger.
You jerks. Making me get games.
Yeah. Heaven forbid we make you play a game that's great instead of...
I mean,
of,
yeah,
like,
it's better than Shannon game. Pushing hard for UFO waifus.
Well, you know. Any port in the storm.
And how about you, Zach Anderson, host of That Pixel Life?
Hey, did you like how I worked that in to the opening of
it? Yeah, it was a New Year's resolution. Is that it? Like, you know, you're gonna...
I mean, it's one of them. I figured I'd just... To be honest, I just added it to the bottom line of my script, so I just Ron Burgundy'd it, so I had to say it. we had a little Zoom party over here, and then the kids woke up and joined the Zoom party, which was fun. And then everyone got in bed around 11. Kids were still awake, so we're like, all right, let's see if they'll make it to midnight, even though we're going to pay for it tomorrow. Let's just do it. And my son lasted about 5 minutes after we all got in bed. He was out. And then my daughter, the savage that she is, gets to like 11:40. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go shut the house up and I'll be right back. And I go lock everything down, come back in like literally 2 minutes later. And she was going strong when I walked out of the room too. It was like up, talking, bouncing, this and that and the other thing. And I come back like 2 minutes later and she's out, just cold. Like someone flipped a light switch.
pounded her fifth Capri Sun. She's like, bro, let's go. The night's young.
Yeah, she's crunching it on her forehead.
Just she's like sucking it down. She's like, dude, she like blows it up and then stomps on it. She's like, dude, bust out the dominoes, dad. Like, right. I'm ready.
I would absolutely expect nothing less from her. Like, she is a total savage in that regard. But she crashed hard. So my wife and I finished up some TV and went to bed. It was a rager of a New Year's Eve. By chance, did either one of you catch like the Seacrest show or the Fox show?
Yeah.
Good Lord, they were such train wrecks. My wife was just like, I was going to put this on just like to have something on. And well, the Fox one had Kim. What's the guy from Hangover who's on all the like Masked Singer? Yeah. That's all
Ken,
that.
Ken Jeong.
Like Ken Jeong, yeah. And then and Joel McHale were the hosts on that one, and they were like openly saying the whole time, like, this is a total, like, no one knows what the hell's going on. Like, it's just like mics weren't working, like cameras were all off, and they were just like openly mocking it, talking about how they were getting fired. They're like, well, good thing we won't need to do this next year because this sucks. And like, you know, like it was,
well, it, like Ken is like on like six shows on Fox. He's like the Fox lineup nowadays. Like, all he freaking does is just like roll through in like every single show.
He's in deep now.
After the Masked Singer, they're like, hey, Kim, you want to earn $200 more a week? And he's like, sign me up. Like, let's throw him on these, like, just walk over here from set four to set five, 15 minutes tops, and then you can go back.
Yeah, it was, but it was actually way more entertaining than the Seacrest one, because at least they had no pretense that theirs was all a total train wreck. Like, the Seacrest one, they were trying real hard to make you think it wasn't a train wreck, and it was just as bad, but they were like lying to me about it. So somehow the Fox one came across better. But yeah, pretty mellow New Year's. We all made it. I was happy about it. And then we started, just kind of a mellow weekend. I enjoyed having the day off work. That was nice.
Yeah, I had the whole week off.
Oh, nice.
And so, you know, my punch list consisted of, like, you know, just doing a whole bunch of organization and cleaning out. And, like, I got most of it done. Like, so I am, like, super stoked. And it's amazing. Like, you know, when you had a week off when you were in, like, your 20s or, like, 30s, you were just like, I am going to rage. I'm going to play video games. This is going to be awesome. Now it's like I go out to, like, Home Depot and I'm getting, like, shelves, and I'm like, yes, shelves. And then I'm getting Tupperware containers. I'm like, yes, Tupperware containers, organization. I love this. And then, like, you know, I go on Amazon and I get my little Velcro reusable, like, zip ties for cable management and, like, all my cable bands. And I'm like, this is awesome. And I'm like, what happened to me? Like, I'm sitting out. I'm like, when did I get old?
It's horrible. Shannon's like, when I was in my 20s, I'd go to 7-Eleven, get some of those weird boner pills at the front counter, and see where the week takes me.
Yep.
When I was in my 20s, I would start partying with Zach, and then I would disappear, and everybody would be like, oh, whatever, that's Shannon. And then, like, I'd wake up in, like, a bush somewhere. You know?
Yeah. Go to Zach. He's like, all right, got my passport, $300. And some ibuprofen. I'm ready for wherever the week's about to take me.
Yeah, man. Like, there were definitely me and Shannon definitely had days in our lives that there were journeys. Let's just go say that. We went on journeys.
We went on spirit quests. We were looking for spirit
quests. That is a great way of putting it. Yeah, spirit quests were definitely done.
Yep. On peyote in the Nevada desert, just.
I mean, whiskey and Mountain View backyards. I don't know. Like, whatever. One happens out of another. Jaeger bombs at fucking TGI Fridays. Right, Shannon? Jaeger
bombs, car bombs. Name it. Oh, God.
Dude, my friend Brent, for his one birthday, we went to Dave & Buster's, and our friend Shane kept buying him drinks, and we were like, Shane, stop. Like, Brent's, like, obviously done. And he's like, well, he keeps asking for him, so as long as he keeps asking for him, we keep buying him for him. And it resulted in him, like, shitting his pants in the booth.
Wow.
Oh, wow. He really?
Pants, and then, like, got up and then went to the bathroom and was gone for like 10 minutes. And we were like, dude, you should probably go check on him. And he came out and Shane's like, yeah, I need to take him home. He's like, he shit his pants a little bit. Oh, and I'm like, Jesus. But he was hanging out. Dude, he was acting a fool, dude. He was like smoking on this like e-cigarette backwards. Like, he's like Miley Cyrus when she like went on that bender for a while and stuff, dude. His tongue was hanging out he bit me in the fucking shoulder. And I was like, dude, I'm like, stop. I'm like, what are you doing? Well, you're making an ass out of yourself right now. I started filming him because I'm like, dude, you're going to look like such a fucking dick tomorrow when I show you what you're doing right now.
Like, if you don't die from alcohol poisoning, you were going to be so embarrassed. Yeah. Yeah, man. It's one of those, like, I look back now and it's like, I'm kind of sad that I'm old, but at the same time, I'm like happy that I'm old because goddamn, I couldn't even imagine doing that shit anymore. Like, oof. Like, I think about what I used to drink just on a weekend. Like I'm going to go out to the bar on Friday night and this is what I'm going to have. Like, I legitimately couldn't, before I stopped drinking, I legitimately couldn't have handled half of that anymore. You know, like, it was just, and like, that was just a normal night. Like, that wasn't like, we're going out big. That was like, oh, this is just my Friday. Like, this is what I'm ordering. It's like, good Lord, man.
Yeah. Roll up to a friend's house with a fifth of Jack and they're like, oh, great. You brought booze. I was like, this is for me.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Like,
what? No.
You're like, yes, I did bring booze for myself. Yeah. Oh, fuck, man. We had a party at college one time. Gather around, kids. We're having a story. We had a party in college one time where I had two fifths of Jack. So I drank one, right, while we were playing dominoes, which par for the course. That wasn't that unusual at the time. But then someone had brought another one. I wasn't going to stop drinking at that point. So I started drinking the second fifth. And then my friend, who thought it would be really entertaining to pour a bunch of the, like, not twisted teas, but they were like the wine coolers, the like strawberry wine coolers. They poured like four of those back into the fifth bottle to fill it back up. And then I was just drunk enough. I just started drinking that. Like, so I drank like two fifths and one of them was like half wine coolers. And it was like, yeah, God, just man, mistakes were made. I'll just put it that way. That was,
dude, that reminds me of my 20th birthday party at the apartment I was living at the time. Like, my friends Daniel and Eric came over, and I opened the door, and they're both chugging this, like, bottle of Jaeger before they've even stepped into the apartment. Both of them got so sick, and, like, Daniel passed out in front of the bathroom door so no one could use one of the bathrooms in the apartment the entire night. I tried to give them rice cakes, which they threw up all down the hall, and Eric threw up so much in my tub the next morning, I had to walk to Safeway at 6 in the morning that was across the street and get Drano to unclog my fucking tub that was full of, like, vomit and rice cake and ramen. He ate a bunch of ramen before he came over for whatever reason, and it had been sitting there all night, so it was just disgusting. And then to top it all off, Daniel, at one point, my roommate Andrew was supervising this party. He was the sober one the entire time. That was his job for my birthday. He said Daniel could karate chop a beer bottle in our sink. I don't know why he said he could do that. And I'm standing in the sink, like, kitchen talking to someone. I turn around, I see Daniel. He karate chops his, like, Budweiser bottle. It shatters. There's a piece of glass stuck in his wrist. And he, like, immediately grabs his wrist and I was like, what the fuck? Like, I was freaking out. And I was like, why did you do that? And he's like, your roommate said I could. And I was like, why would you let him do that? And he's like, he just asked if he could break it in the sink. I didn't realize it was a karate chop. And I'm like, why is that okay still? Like, yeah, why would you say that's what? Fine? And then he's like, dude, let me see your wrist. And Daniel, like, opened it. And it was just like, bleh. And, like, it was like a, like, little vagina on his wrist. And I was like, oh, my God. And Andrew's like, dude, you need stitches. And he's like, nah, bro, get me some tape. And he's like, dude, no. He's like, dude, he's like, I was an Eagle Scout. And he's like, get me some fucking duct tape. And he duct taped his wrist shut. And, like, he has this, like, gooch scar on his wrist now. Like, him not getting real stitches and just duct taping his arm closed.
It is amazing any of us made it out alive. You know, that's all I gotta say.
I don't know. Just, sometimes I feel if you don't have that story where somebody puked in your tub and you had to go get Drano at 6 o'clock in the morning, did you ever really live?
It was like the saddest, like I'm like barefoot walking through Safeway hungover, like getting drained on paper towels.
Oh no, you weren't hungover, you were still drunk, my friend.
I see you in like an Argyle like robe with like some of those like big like footy like bear claw slippers, like walking in the Safeway picking up some Drano.
Probably something like that. It's probably like basketball shorts and like a Mario shirt.
Well, we could be sitting here trading drunk stories all night, but I suppose we should move on. just if nothing else, the five listeners we had have already turned us off, so sorry guys. I wanted to talk about something else. Justin, you opened a bunch of magic packs online recently. Did you get anything good?
Dude, I did. I got a gift booster box for Christmas from Megan's mom, and it had like I think 10 booster packs and then one of the like collector booster packs or whatever, which has like the fancier like borderless cards and everything's holographic in it and stuff. And I managed to get like some good pulls. Like I got like Omnath and like some good, which his price would totally be better if like he wasn't banned like out of standard. Like once something gets banned, the price just tanks. But
is it a broken ass card or something? Or
there was a broken ass, like what happens is like when a card when like a certain deck becomes the meta and stuff, and like Magic realizes that like in tournaments, like out of the top 10 decks, when like 70% are that deck, then they're like, all right, some cards need to get banned. So then they ban like one or two cards from that deck to try and like make it not work either as fast or as well anymore. And the card itself isn't super broken, I think, but just with all the other cards that were currently in standard, it like made it broken.
Gotcha. So,
but yeah, I got some good mythics and stuff, some good rares. So I'm excited. The new Magic set comes out, I think, like end of this month, beginning next month. The one that's all kind of like
heavy metal or whatever.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. I forget what it's called, but yeah, it has like it's very metal looking and has like a bunch of cool kind of like almost like gods and like shit like that. They have like more like dwarves, like fantasy stuff. So I'm all about it.
Sweet.
Dude, I found all of my Magic cards this weekend and I brought them all into the house and my girlfriend wants to play. So I might be getting back into Magic.
That's what's up.
All I'm saying is I've got a, you know, 20 gallon bin in my garage full of Magic cards, Shannon. So
Zach's like, give me an excuse.
Literally, just give me an excuse. Like, I just. And what I want to do, what I actually want to do is go through it, find the good stuff, sell that whole bin, and then, like, start over with new cards. Because half those cards you probably can't play with anymore anyway. Because it's all from, like, Revised and fucking Ice Age and The Dark and shit like that, you know? Mm-hmm. So. But yeah.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that's what I do. Just, like, find like what the really good ones are, and if they're in pretty decent condition, mail them off to get like PSA graded, and then just flip them on eBay.
I've got an Alpha Birds of Paradise that's in really good shape that I should definitely do that with. So I think there's two Moxes that I still have.
Yeah, you were telling me about that. We had a group text about that, and I was like looking at the prices of some of them, and I'm like, dude, it's so good.
I know, but at the same time, like the collector card market has exploded in such a way where it's almost like, well, do I want to sell them now? Like, I don't know.
Or just continue sitting on it?
Yeah, I know. It's like, cards. I don't know. I do love cards, though. Yeah, so are you planning any more streaming events, Justin?
I do want to open, like, once the new Magic set comes out, I want to do more open. I also did, like, a Lego time-lapse video because Megan's brother got me a Boba Fett little Lego. It's pretty heavy once it's, like, built together, but it's, like, his helmet and stuff and, like, the little antenna comes down and everything. It's pretty legit. Like, it took me a little over 2 hours to build it, and by the time I did, like, all the time-lapse parts and stuff, I got it down to, like, 21 minutes. So that was really fun. I had a lot of fun doing that. So I kind of want to do like more content like that of like opening cards or just like building Legos or stuff like that, which I'm like, Shannon, or you, like, I'm like, do you give me an excuse to like buy Legos? It's like one of those things where it's like, it's so expensive. It just sits there and collects dog hair. Like, I don't want to, but I'm like, well, if I'm filming a video for it, I mean,
I mean, now it's $60. Content.
Like, yeah, now it's like YouTube content.
But so. I mean, that's the thing too, is like Lego is like one of those things where like there's enough collectors and Lego does discontinue certain, you know, certain models. So like those models are insane. Like my son watches Lego builds on YouTube. If like he can watch something on YouTube, that's usually what he watches. And there was a green Mini Cooper with a picnic set. Retails for like $100, and then Lego discontinued it about 6 months ago. It's already $350 online.
Yeah,
I'm like, son of a bitch.
Yeah, I picked up one of the NES console Lego sets, and originally it was gonna like, oh, I should give that to my kid for Christmas, and then I realized like, no, he's way too little for that. Like, it would just end up getting broken and destroyed, and I'm like, I'll hold on to it until he like actually could build it. And then I realized like, oh wait, by the time that comes around, that $200 set is probably going to be like a $800 set, and I could just sell it at that point. But we'll see what happens. If he has an interest in it, I'll probably give it to him. But if he, you know, if he, a few years go by and he's not really feeling those sets, like, hey, might as well make some money. I don't know.
You're like, sell it, like, bought it for $200, sell it for $800. You're like, pocket $600 and then buy him a different set for $200.
Yeah, exactly. buy him whatever set he wants at that point. Yeah. So I figured we would look at what's coming in 2021. I sent you guys a link to check out. Mm-hmm. I guess, should I just go down the games of the dates we know? Because it's not that many.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm cool with that.
All right, so in January, the big ones are going to be Hitman 3, which is January 20th, and The Medium, which is January 28th, and that's the horror game from that's coming to Xbox and PC. Now, February 2nd, People Can Fly's next game called Outriders. I didn't know anything about it, but its description is Mass Effect meets a Diablo.
Yeah, that game looks super dope.
All right. That's something I'm going to have to dig in a little deeper on, because I never heard of Outriders before, but here we are.
They did an article on it on Game Informer. Okay. It was one of the games that I was that it made it onto my list based off of that thing. It was like a first person shooter. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, you have abilities, but and there's lots of like dress up. And yeah, you know, I mean, like for the people who like the cosmetic aspect of it, sure. There's a lot of cosmetics and like the guns, like not only do they change and are upgradable, but like, you know, it changes the characteristics of the gun as you upgrade them. And there was three or four different classes. So very similar to kind of like a Destiny type game. Okay. That's the only thing that really gave me pause, right? Is because everything, even Destiny struggled in the beginning, but like every game that's come out that's had that moniker of it's like a Destiny game has failed horribly when it's come out to market for like the mass gaming community. So the only, like, I am optimistic about this game. Like, I really want to play it, but at the same time, I think I might be hesitant to buy it day one until I see what some of the reviewers say.
Yeah, I think I'm there with you, but I just, Mass Effect meets Diablo is a sentence that definitely perks my ears up. It makes me want to pay attention. So on February 12th, Justin's Game of the Year nominee, Super Mario 3D World and Bowser's Fury hits. I never really played the Wii U Super Mario 3D World. What was the 3DS one? It wasn't 3D World.
It was 3D Land.
I played 3D Land and enjoyed it quite a lot, but I never played 3D World because I never had a Wii U. But if it's anything like 3D Land, I'll probably pick it up because I'm sure my kids would love it. And those games are always super solid, like completely solid. What's Bowser's Fury, Justin? Do you know?
That's just like the additional that they kind of tacked on since they're like remastering it. They added, I'm not really sure what it is. I think it's probably just more levels. If okay. I had to guess, like, it's like probably like an additional world.
But it wasn't like something that existed before, right? It's like,
correct. Stuff? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's like a new kind of like when they were remastering the Mario and Luigi games and stuff, they kind of tacked on for like the 3DS stuff. They tacked on like some extra content to it.
All right. And then February 25th, we have Riders Republic, another Ubisoft steep type game, skiing, snowboarding, downhill biking, wingsuiting, rocket wingsuiting, just in case you're not going fast enough as you're falling off a mountain. So yeah, there's a game I won't play. Shannon, February 26th, Bravely Default 2. It has a date. About time. It has a date and everything. Yeah.
Shannon's like, I can't wait to put 10 hours into that and then never play it again.
Shush. You shush. Like, I have my New Year's resolution, as like Zach's is to introduce himself in the beginning of the podcast. Mine is to actually like buy and complete more games this year. So like I feel like I'm going to start out strong with Immortals Fenyx Rising. I feel that's going to be beaten pretty soon. But yes, definitely. Bravely Default has been on my list since it was since the Nintendo Direct at E3, where they said it was going to come out in 2020. And when I looked on the eShop, all it said is to be determined. And I was like, well, shit, it's not coming out this year. So I'm glad they finally have a date. I played the demo. I liked it a lot. So, yeah, I think I'll play that one for a while.
All right. And then Destruction All-Stars, which no one knows what the hell that is, but PlayStation made the smart move of going, oh, we're going to Rocket League that and give it to you on PlayStation Plus.
Well, I mean, that's essentially what it is, right? It's like it's Rocket League, but you can get out of your car and you can mess people up.
It's like, Rocket Twisted, League meets Fortnite.
Meets Twisted Metal, maybe? Yeah. Like, yeah, no one really knows. It was like a cool trailer, but didn't tell me a lot about the game. And then
was it though? Like, I mean, I was not hyped for that game at all when I saw it. I was like, wow, this is dookie. I'm out.
Shannon's like, counterpoint. No.
He's like, hear me out. It wasn't.
but what if it sucked?
Just saying. Hot takes.
So then March 19th, right after Mr. Moore's birthday, is Returnal. Maybe he'll actually have a PS5 by then and he can play it. Housemarque's next game, it's supposed to be a third-person roguelike shooter, which, I don't know. Again, it's... I mean, granted, my game of the year was a roguelike type game, but can we do something else? We've done a lot of roguelikes, guys. I don't know. It Takes Two, which is the studio that made A Way Out and Brothers, that's their next game, which guess what? Two players again. Whoa, weird. That guy has a shtick. But he promises it'll blow your fucking mind away. So keep on guard for that. Monster Hunter Rise, and this Monster Hunter March 26th also is Justin, isn't this the one that it's supposed to be not like the PS4 Xbox one, right? It's supposed to be more like the DS
anime 14. Kind of, yeah. Art style,
I think so, right? It's supposed to be,
yeah, well, because there's two different Monster Hunters coming out or whatever on Switch soon, but I think Rise is the one, yeah, with the more kind of like Sword Art Online looking, like, yeah. Art style.
Okay. And then, okay, so then we're go a couple others. We got dates for Deathloop. May 21st is the supposedly confirmed date for that one, and that looks rad as hell. I was hoping that was going to come out in December, but they pushed it back, and I just hope that means it's finished now. But Deathloop looks freaking rad. Far Cry 6, I mean, I like Giancarlo Esposito, so I'm kind of on board with that one. And that is also May 25th. June 22nd, Back for Blood, totally not Left for Dead. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I'm personally looking forward to that. Lego Star Wars, The Skywalker Saga. I'm probably going to miss that one because my kids don't care about Star Wars at all. If that was a Jurassic Park thing, we'd be all about that life. But here we are. Sometime in spring, the Mass Effect Legendary Edition. I want to pick that up, but at the same time, I'm scared to because that game kicks ass in my memories. And I'm kind of scared to play it again and be like, oh, wait, this sucks. But we'll see. Shannon, you looking at Gran Turismo at all? Gran Turismo 7 is supposed to drop sometime before June.
You know, I was thinking about it. I kind of have fallen off of the Gran Turismo train for a while, but I would like to get back on it, especially since, you know, there's a lot of positive press around it as far as the controls and the dynamics of the game. Lamborghini built a real life model of like one of the concept cars that they put in the game, and it looks pretty rad. So I mean, if they can you know, kind of take out a lot of what made Gran Turismo not fun, like, you know, kind of follow Forza and make it more of an arcade type simulator than like an actual straight up simulation where you have to get the driver's license. And, you know, there's a lot of that, like a lot of minutia before you can even get to the races. I would definitely find myself enjoying that a little bit more. So I'm curious, I'm cautious about it, but it's definitely on my radar. It's definitely something I want to play.
Okay. Because for those of you that don't know, when we were younger, Shannon was like Mr. Gran Turismo. He loved him some GT3. So
Love that shit all the time. Like me and my little Honda Civic, just, you know, all raced out, ready to go. Did not transfer over into my real life very well though.
Shannon drunkenly trying to convince me that like the Subarus were the best cars in Gran Turismo or something. I forget the brand, but it was one of those like random like car brands, and you're like, no, you aren't understanding, these cars are amazing. And I'm like, yeah, all right, dude, have another shot. So
I stand second, by it, sir.
You don't even know. Second half of the year, we've got Horizon Forbidden West, which, yes, give me that. I want more Horizon in my life. Then Crossfire X, which is a game that I know it's a popular Asian multiplayer shooter, but it's the fact that single player is being made by Remedy, aka Control, aka Alan Wake, that has me really interested in Crossfire. Especially since Remedy has said that all these games take place in a shared universe. So I want to know if they're going to bring Crossfire into the Alan Wake verse or not. But hey, Shannon, did you know they're making an Evil Dead game?
What?
An Evil Dead game that's supposed to come out this year. It's going to be a third person game with co-op and PvP.
They showed a trailer for it at the Game Awards.
But, like, does anyone give a shit about Evil Dead in 2021? Like,
well, they did that remake, like, what? How long ago was that? Like, please don't say more than 10 years ago. I think it had to be, like, closer to 7.
Well, there was the show, too, though, and the show...
Evil Dead or whatever?
Yeah. Army of the Dead or... whatever, Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, with, I guess, the success of, like, the Friday the 13th game and stuff, I'm imagining that's why, like, they thought, well, we could do a Friday the 13th game, but with Evil Dead and make some money, so.
But with Bruce Campbell doing voices, so.
Yeah.
And that movie came out in 2013, Shannon. 2013.
7 years.
7 years.
Yeah, I was 23 when that came out.
Yeah, but you were. I was 30. Anyway, so another game. The next two games are games I definitely want. One is a can't miss, and one I want to play. The one I want to play is Ghostwire Tokyo, because it's made by the team that did Evil Within, and Evil Within was really cool. Especially the second one. I know Justin played it. Shannon probably never touched it, right? Yeah. not a shock.
That's a safe bet.
Yeah. The can't miss for me is God of War Ragnarok. I'm going to guess right now, if you had to give me odds, that game doesn't come out this year. Mm-mm. I'm guessing Ragnarok is going... My thought is Sony will line up Horizon to be their holiday title this year. And God of War ends up being a holiday 2022.
Wow.
You guys want to put bets on that, I think? Mm. Yeah, no?
I don't know about holiday 2022. I could see it coming out, like, middle of the year, like, more towards, like, the April to, like, the July area.
Yeah, like, something somewhere around there. Okay.
Like, but, in the first quarter, like, somewhere in quarter two.
But you're missing probably one of the more insta buys for you too, Zach. Mm. Ratchet and Clank, A Rift Apart comes out.
That is very true.
You know, sometime in the first half of this year. So, you know, I mean, that's an insta buy for anybody, right? I mean, granted, we all get PlayStation 5s.
Honestly, that game not being out is one of the reasons why I'm not all that sad I haven't been able to get a PlayStation 5. Because Ratchet and Clank looks fucking amazing.
Like, speaking of PlayStation 5s, when do you think you are going to be seeing like PlayStation 5s in the wild, like where there people aren't clubbing each other to like, you know, secure one?
My guess is summer, probably summertime.
Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking more like, I was hoping by like March, like I was thinking like come like January and stuff, like factories, like whatever, that they'd start pumping more out to the point where they're not, people aren't clamoring for them as much because like you can just get them,
yeah,
and order them online without like.
Sony's coming for everybody's $600 stimulus check. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
my guess is, I don't think probably later than like July or August, but it could be as early as March or April. Sure. It really is depends on production lines. So
they're like, mail us your stimulus check and we'll send you a PS5 with Miles Morales.
I mean, okay.
Okay, with like 2-day shipping. Yeah, that'll use up like the full $600.
Psychonauts 2 is also coming out, which remains to be a game I would have been crazy excited for 10 years ago and don't really care now, which is a shame. And a game Shannon will never play, Resident Evil Village.
Mm-hmm.
Or 8, or Village. I don't know how we're supposed to say that. Eightage. But yeah, I'm super hyped for that. Give me werewolves, give me witches, T-Virus, all that fun stuff. Are either one of you a Shin Megami Tensei guy?
Mm-mm.
Persona, all that? No?
Like, I've played like a lot of them, but it's like I've tried really hard to get into it, like, and I just like I've played some of 3, I've played some of 5 of like Persona, and then I got like Shin Megami Tensei, I think it was like 3 or 4 on the 3DS and stuff, and played it for a little bit, but I just, I don't know, I wasn't like just captivated by it.
Gotcha.
I'll tell you, one of the gimmicks I hate in video games is like a time limit, like a forced time limit. Now that there's like all these open world games, like I like being able to take my time. I like being able to like observe things. Like I really hate, you know, like in Persona, like how you have like an X amount of time, you know, split between the realms, or like a Majora's Mask where like you have like an X amount of time before like you run out and like you go to the next day. Like I hate like games like that. I just feel rushed. I feel like I don't get the full experience. I feel like I'm always going to miss something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like I just, those types of games like kind of shy me away from any of their other properties just because, you know, like I didn't like that style. I'm probably not going to like what they're putting out now.
Sure.
So yeah, I just, you know.
Dude, I'm honestly like the same way, and that's like what my biggest turnoff for Final Fantasy 13 Lightning Returns was like the time limit thing. That like I love the battle system in that game, but I fucking hated the like every day and then you have to go to the like white plane thing with the dude whose body's in like in a kid's body and talk to him, and I'm just like, dude, I'm like, I just want to play. I don't want to hang out at the station and figure out what time it is. I don't want to knock this cat out of a tree, dude. I just want to fight stuff, man. Like, just let me do it.
That would actually be a great topic for a show coming up, is what are the best games, or what are the best battle systems in the worst games? Because there are so many like that.
Yeah. Where,
I mean, what was it? Final Fantasy X2 with the whole dress sphere system. Mm-hmm. Like, that's still to this day one of my all-time favorite battle systems, but that game is hot trash, you know. But like the battle system's so good, I don't care. Like I just want more battles, you know. But yeah, that would be a fun one. Hey Shannon, can you actually, I gotta step out for a second, can you pick it up from here and I'll be right back.
Thanks. Yeah, let's see if there's anything else on the list that we want to talk about. Oh, yeah, you got at the end of, like, in the fall of 2021, we finally got Halo Infinite that's supposed to be dropping. Do we think that's going to get delayed a little bit longer, Justin? I mean, do you have 2 cents on what you feel? Do you think this is going to be another doozy or another dud? Like, what do you think? Like, what are your predictions for this next Halo installation?
I mean, at the moment, I almost think expectations for it are so low and like underwhelming after that gameplay trailer that they initially showed,
mm-hmm.
that I feel like people's expectations of it are so low that by the time it does come out, people are going to be like, oh, it's actually better than, you know, I was expecting it to be, because they like didn't set the bar very high early on when they showed it. I honestly, I'm not a Halo person, so it's like, I don't really care. Do you like Halo? Are you big?
You know, like, I came in because I was always a PlayStation fanboy, and I didn't really get an Xbox until, like, the 360 range. Like, so, like, there were a lot of Halo games that I missed out on that I went back to, like, play. Because, I mean, even then, like, halfway through the 360's life cycle, I mean, there was a handful of games that were Halo-related that I didn't play. That being said, I did like the story. Up until I think Halo 5, I did like the campaign modes, but I never really got into the multiplayer because I always felt A, I sucked, B, I didn't have the time to get good, and like when I did shoot somebody, they felt super spongy. Like a lot of the enemies in the game, they were just bullet sponges. So you know, that kind of ticked me off and kind of kept me away from it, but I think Microsoft delaying the game for like a full year, like, is pretty crazy. I mean, like, fall of 2021 is when this game is slated to come out, and you know, I think first of all, your delay, like the fact that you delayed it a year says that there's a lot of stuff that you got to tweak and fix. I think that, you know, that's kind of a hard line in the sand. I think if you delay the game a year after saying it was, you know, going to come out in November 2020, that like when you hit that fall 2021 timeline, you better come out with a high quality game, because, you know, people are going to really be upset with you if you don't. So, you know, I hope that they learn their lesson. I hope that it is up to the next gen standards by that point, because by that time, people are going to have an expectation set. Like right now, nobody has an expectation. There's no benchmark game out there that people are like, this is the game that is going to set the bar for the next gen consoles. But, you know, who knows? By fall of 2021, you might have something that is been setting the bar for everybody.
We'll see. And I was like, that's like, so my history with like Halo is like, when I was in high school is when like Halo 2 came out. Mm-hmm. And you know, I would go over to friends' houses and play it, and we'd do LAN parties and whatever, and I would get my ass dunked on and stuff, because I didn't really play a lot of first person shooters and stuff. That was just never, like, I played some Call of Duty and stuff, but it just like really wasn't my thing. And that and then like same when Halo 3 came out, everyone wanted to play it, and I like really didn't even, the first person shooter where I was like, holy shit, I want this, is when BioShock, the first one, came out. That's what made me get a 360, was that holiday when BioShock came out and it was on everyone's Game of the Year list. I was like, I need to play this game. And I was all Nintendo up until that point, and I was like, this is what's going to finally get me. And then so I got a Xbox for Christmas that year, and I went to like Game Crazy like the next morning and bought BioShock, and I was like, this is fantastic.
Nice. Hey, Zach, do you have any any thoughts on Halo Infinite and its 1 year delay?
My thoughts are, I'm happy that it's got a 1 year delay. Like, from what they showed, that game needed work, and I think my guess is there was a lot of internal yes speak to the team of like what they were making and what they were doing, and like, internally people were going like, this is awesome, this is rad, I can't believe what we made, this is so good, this is so great. And then they showed it to the world and the world went, that looks horrible, what did you guys do with all this time and money? And and they went, wait, what, people don't like this? People but it looks like Halo 1. And people were like, yeah bro, that shit came out like a decade plus ago, like I don't want it to look like that anymore. And they were like, oh, okay, so let's go spruce this up, hit the brakes, went and looked at what they had and went, oh, we're going to need a lot of time to make this what it needs to be. And I'm really happy Microsoft gave them the time, because I don't think it can be understated how much they needed Halo to launch this new system with. And for them to shelve it was a huge move on their part. That being said, it's got to hit. Mm-hmm. Like, when you release it now, it has to be amazing. Like, there's no room for a, we're going to release it in a year from now with content releases, blah, 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 blah. It'll be great. No, it's got to hit the ground on fire at this point in a good way.
That's kind of what surprises me about this list is Halo Infinite in the fall of 2021 is the first Microsoft Series exclusive.
Well, no, the medium at the
beginning. Oh, is it? Okay, yeah. I thought that was.
But outside of that, that's the end of the list.
Yeah, that's crazy to think that, because how many years has it been since Microsoft has come out with a substantial, like, first party game?
Well, I mean, outside of the Forza games.
Yes.
I was like, Gears 5 just came out not that long ago.
Oh, like, really?
Gears 5 was, what, 2018?
Yeah, I think
so. Still, that's two years at this point now.
Yeah, but I'm willing to give them a little bit of a break because Microsoft realized in 2017 or whatever, like, oh, wait, we really messed up, and went and started acquiring studios, putting a bunch of money back in production. And that stuff just takes time to make, you know, like, yeah, that was, you know, 3 or 4 years ago at this point, but that takes time. Like, my guess is you'll start to see, I mean, there'll be games on this list that we don't know yet that'll still come out, mm-hmm. you know, that, and they have like, what, 18 studios now? They're all making something.
Yeah, it's insane.
They're all doing something. And now you have Bethesda and all their stuff. And Microsoft has already said, like, I got no problem making that stuff exclusive. So I'm not willing to write off Microsoft yet. But yeah, what we have to know is coming out. I mean, okay, similarly on this list, where's the Nintendo titles? Outside of Bravely Default.
You know, more Heroes 3.
And Mario. But yeah, it's like, you know, they've been sitting on Bayonetta 3 for like 3 years now. And it's like, you know, and we know Metroid Prime 4 was in production and then they bunked it. But it's like they've been reworking on Metroid Prime for like a couple years now. So,
I mean, yeah, they originally announced Metroid Prime 4 in 2016.
Oof.
And
something like that.
And then said we're redoing it in 2018. Well, it's 2021 now, and it was 2019 when they said they're going to make Breath of the Wild 2, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, even, it's like, when I even think about that, it's like, man, well, even for Bayonetta, when they even announced it, there was no real footage. It was like 20 seconds of a cinematic, and then the logo.
Yeah,
so exactly. It was like, man, we haven't even seen gameplay for that.
Well, I mean, yeah. Metroid Prime 4 was literally just the logo, and that's it. So
I would hope that there's at least footage. Like, October for Bayonetta would make the absolute most sense. Like, totally. If it came out October of this year.
But, yeah, I mean, my guess is Nintendo, because Nintendo has proven with Paper Mario that they have no problem being like, oh, by the way, this game comes out in a month. And you knew nothing about it. So here it is. So my guess is Nintendo probably will have one or two bangers that we just don't know about yet throughout the year. And I would say Microsoft's probably the same. We just don't know at this point.
Well, yeah, because Nintendo's big thing is usually they have one first-party game. That's a big one, like a month. Mm-hmm. That is usually their thing, and they, like, block it out purposefully that way. So I think, you know, whatever the Mario one that comes out in like February or whatever, that's their one for February.
Yeah. By the way, give me Mario Kart 9.
That's long overdue.
I do want that.
Yeah.
I was just talking about Mario Kart 8 today. I was like, man.
It's to the point where I don't really play Mario Kart 8 anymore. Even though it's great, I like it. It's really, really good. But I played it. I know it. Back frontwards and backwards at this point. It's like, give me something else, you know, like, even if it's track packs, like, embrace DLC and give me more tracks, you know, or something.
Dude, what would be nuts is, since they're playing nice with Microsoft now, if like the next Mario Kart was like Mario versus Diddy Kong. Like, you have the roster of like 10 Mario characters versus the roster of like 10 Diddy Kong Racing characters. Mm-hmm. And then the courses were like half and half from like Diddy Kong 64 and like a couple new Mario ones, but then some retro ones.
Actually, that would be freaking rad if Microsoft was just like, yeah, Nintendo's leaving this hole wide open. Like, here's the new Diddy Kong Racing.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, they gave Smash Banjo, so I'm like, dude, like, license over some, like, Diddy Kong, you can have Banjo in there, you can have whatever.
I'd be down. I'd be super down. But yeah, I mean, we will have to wait and see. It should be an interesting time. In the meantime, I think we're all still playing last year's games. I know I started up one of the ones from the Game of the Year list myself. What have you guys been playing this week? Shannon, what you got?
So this week, I've just been grinding through more of Immortals, but I did have a substantial amount of time to play on my PC. So I got into Modern Warfare Warzone. And boy, did that get its hooks in me deep fast. Like, it did not waste any time getting that needle in my vein. Like, it's a good game.
And you haven't played a Modern Warfare game in a while, right?
Yeah, it's been a hot minute. So like, it was really like, it was like comfort food, right? Like, you drop in and like, you know, like the first time you're kind of like putty, right? Like, you don't necessarily know like the dynamics or where to go or anything like that. But like, pretty quickly you start to like pick up on where people are dropping in and where they're going, what loadouts are cool, and you just start having fun. Like, I went from like the first two matches being eliminated probably like, you know, like with 80 people left. But like, after maybe like the third or fourth match, I was up in the, like the 20s and the teens. And then like a couple times, like I was in like the single digits, like, you know, I was down at like the very, very end of the match. Mm-hmm. And like, their matchmaking is balanced. So like, you know, your KD ratios kind of go into effect with like, you know, like, and how well you play, how long you last kind of goes into like the tiered system that they put you in. So you never really feel like you're being outmatched. You know, there still are those people that are just going to camp in certain areas. I mean, that's kind of like the style of the game. Like, it's kind of like, be cautious, you know, every man for themselves. So, you know, you tend to be a little bit more focused on where you're going and what you're picking up, and you're a little bit more deliberate with your actions. So, you know, sometimes it does feel a little cheap when you get picked off by somebody who's just sitting in a corner, waiting for the smoke to come in. But I'm having a great time with it. Like, I'm unlocking all the guns that I like. I'm playing with a headset on, and the sound is crazy. Like, the graphics are insane. Like, yeah, just having a blast with it. So, yeah, I didn't want to play anything else this week. So that's a good sign for me. Justin, what are you playing?
Oh, man. So before, I actually have been playing a handful of stuff. I was playing some stuff before our game of the year and stuff. So I talked about it with you guys a little bit before. But I picked up Super Meat Boy Forever, and I had been playing that. And it's kind of sad. Like, I wish it was just because it moved from being a straight up like 2D platformer to being a 2D like infinite runner sort of thing. And so the level design, you know, is completely different, and the controls like are different and stuff. It's not like as tight knit and stuff as, and it's one of those things where if it was like not Super Meat Boy, if it was like some other game, like IP or whatever entirely, like I think I would probably enjoy it better. But it's like the fact that the Super Meat Boy like name is on it, it's like I have high expectations for it. So it's like, as a Super Meat Boy game, I feel like it kind of is underwhelming, and it's not what I wanted as a sequel for Super Meat Boy. I would want more like some like Celeste style like shit with Super Meat Boy than an infinite runner. But like, the art's beautiful, and like the level design's good and stuff for like an infinite runner. It's just, I don't think it's as enjoyable as like a straight up platformer is.
That's a bummer, because Meat Boy was one of my favorite games when it first came out, but it was also kind of an era.
Yeah.
You know? So.
So then one of the other ones I picked up, which I want to say, I think Shannon played it or whatever, because it was on Apple Arcade originally. It came to Switch, Grindstone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was like, which I love, like, Puzzle Quest, and Bejeweled 3 was, like, my shit in college and stuff, so I love Match 3 and, like, whatever, and the art style's very Adventure Time, mm-hmm. like, art style stuff. It's pretty fun, so I've played a little bit of that. I need to play more, but I'm enjoying that so far.
That game is rad as hell. Like,
yeah.
And then it all of a sudden stops being rad. It's great. And then the grind of Grindstone hits, and it's like, oh, I don't know if I want to keep playing this. I don't know.
The third game I've been playing is, I don't know if either of you have played it, but it finally came to Switch, which is what I've been waiting for, is Dicey Dungeon.
Oh, I've seen it, and I was wondering if I should pull the trigger on it.
It is a game for you. I will tell you that much. If you look up, so the whole premise of Dicey Dungeon is it's a game show hosted by Lady Luck, and contestants come on the show competing for, like, various rewards, and then they get turned into physical, like, dice. So, like, there's a warrior, like a thief, a robot, an inventor, and I forget what the fifth class is. But you go through, and each dice has six episodes. So there's, like, 36 episodes, because there's six playable dice total. So there's, like, 36 episodes to go through. So, like, the warrior, when you start out, you go through episode one, and it's, like, pretty good. Like, when I played through with the warrior the first time, I didn't die once. It was all pretty easy, and you get, like, as you go through, it's very much like Hades or anything else, you know, like each playthrough is going to be a little bit different, and you get different items and stuff to equip yourself with. And it's all based on rolling die. And with certain numbers, your attack does like six plus this amount, or you need like an odd die to place into this spot to do this attack and stuff like that. But then as episodes progress, it's like episode two with the warrior, it's like, hey, this move is now maxed out, and you start with it, but now you're also cursed, like, every turn. So it's, like, giving you this super high positive, but then you also get this super high negative. So it's, like, cool, my shit does more power, but I'm also, like, cursed, which negatively affects, like, certain things. So then you're trying to go through, like, the levels with that. And then it's, like, after going with the warrior, playing as, like, the thief dude, his attacks do way less damage. So it's, like, you have to kind of get like smaller dice, so a lot of his moves revolve around splitting big die and the smaller number die and using those for kind of stacking up those attacks. And then like the robot, I got annihilated when I played with the robot my first round. Like I was like, dude, the robot, because each character kind of gets progressively harder, and I was like, man, like the robot's fucking sucks, like there's no way. And then next round I played as the robot again and got better like equipment that worked off of each other. And I decimated. I was like, dude, the robot is legit my favorite. Like, after having a good round with the robot, I was like, dude, it was so good. But it is totally, like, rolling dice, beating up stuff. Like, it is totally, I think, up your alley. The art style's cute. The music is a banger. It's by Chipsel, who did the music for so many games, like Super Hexagon and I'm, like, spacing on, like, other games she's done, but she does amazing soundtrack stuff with, like, pixel, like, music, like, chiptune sort of music.
All right. Very cool.
And then the final game I've been playing is Immortals Fenyx Rising, which I picked up actually during our Game of the Year episode. I pulled out my Switch and bought it.
There you go.
I have to – it is very much like Ubisoft. Like, I imagine the meeting revolving around Immortals went, all right, what if we took Breath of the Wild, hear me out, all the things people complained about it, we'll just strip that out of the game, and then we'll also throw in some PS2 era God of War stuff, except mm-hmm. instead of killing the gods, hear me out now, you're helping them. And then everyone's like, all right, yeah, we'll fuck with that. And I thought, I couldn't believe the entire, like...
And then first, the one like, dude in the corner's like, wait. So we're not killing the gods? Hold on. What?
But, like, yeah, I couldn't believe, like, the first, like, hour and a half of that game is just, like, the prologue. Like, every time, like, they're just giving you more and more stuff, and I'm like, dude, when does it end? And then finally, like, the title comes up, and they're like, really, that was the prologue? I'm like, that was, like, super long. And then, yeah, it just straight up, like, opens up after that, and it's like, yeah, you can just dick around and do whatever.
But I did like how in the game, even Zeus and what's his name?
Prometheus.
Zeus, Zeus is like to Prometheus, like, wait, this is just the title? We're just getting started? What? Like,
yeah, that was pretty funny. And like, I like the fact that there was multiple points where it's like I'm running around and like I fought a bear pretty early on, and the bear can fuck you up. Like, if you don't dodge the attacks for the bear and stuff or parry it right, like, you will get messed up, especially early on. So it was funny, like, I was like, I died like once or twice to this bear, and I'm like, nah, dude, I'm gonna kill. Because it was like a pack of two bears, so you have to like sit there and like try and lead one away to get some hits on it and not get like wrecked by the other one coming from the side. And then after like fighting those bears, I like ran into a boar and just decimated it. And I'm like, oh man, after getting that bear out of the way, like, these other enemies seem way easier. But I've been having a lot of fun with it. I like doing my one of my favorite parts is probably doing like the shrines, like the shrine areas and stuff where you go into like the pit and stuff and like go through and like do the arrow, have to do stuff with the arrows and do like the rock and weight based like puzzles and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I really like doing those, and I like flying around and finding Ambrosia, and I'm like, how the fuck do I unlock this door? And looking around, I'm like, okay, I have to stand over here and then do some shit to like, oh, have it open for like 30 seconds and then dash in there. Like, once you get flying, that game just opens up so much more. I'm just flying around, climbing on the side of shit, trying to get more Zeus's lightning so I can build my stamina bar up more.
Yeah, I do like the fact that there's like no real set way. Like, there have been a couple puzzles where I'm like, I see what they want me to do, but I have no way of knowing like how to do that. And I'll just like run and take like a whole bunch of hits and get to like the treasure chest with maybe like one bar of my health left, and I'll be like, eh, screw it, I did it. And like, you know, I opened it anyway. But like, you know, I could see that there was another puzzle there, and I was just like, nah, screw it, I'm gonna do it my own way. But also, I do like the fact that if you do hit like some of the areas, it'll tell you like straight up, you don't have the power for this yet. So like, don't even waste your time trying to figure this out. So, which is helpful. So yeah, there are a lot of bonuses about that game. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah, I want to say, like, the only, like, my only real negative complaints about the game is I hate all the fucking Ubisoft stuff that got tacked onto it. Mm. Like, the fact that when you start the game, it wants you to, like, log into your Uplay or whatever. Like, my first 10 minutes of playing the game was me, like, sitting there with my phone trying to, like, recover my Ubisoft password and stuff just to log in. And then it's, like, throughout the gameplay and stuff in the corner, it's like sitting there like, hey, you can go onto the Ubisoft store and get these cool Adventure Time skins and whatever. And I'm just like, dude, really? Like, I'll like quit trying to push like microtransaction like crap onto me. Like, I'm not about that.
What's weird is that they do it, but like, it doesn't really cost any money. So I don't understand why they're trying to force it. It's like, you could just go download all this free stuff. It's like, yeah, or I could just play the game. Stop making me leave the game. Like, what are you doing? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. It's weird.
So I wasn't a fan. And there were some parts, like, in, like, it's one of those things where I've been playing it on Switch, and I know because it's, like, on PS5 and Xbox and whatever, like, unlike Breath of the Wild, which was solely optimized for Switch and stuff, I know this game's not optimized, like, for the Switch and stuff. But, like, I know my game crashed at one point during a cutscene, and luckily, like, when I rebooted the game back up, I was literally, like, it started right, like, back at that cutscene again, which was cool, because it, like, auto-saves, like, a lot for you at certain parts, which I really enjoy, because there's been multiple times where I died, and I'm like, god damn it, how far back am I have to go? And I'm like, oh, cool, it saved, like, 30 seconds ago for me, so it's not that bad. Mm-hmm. But some of, like, the animations and stuff on people's faces, like, their facial expressions are, like, some straight-up, like, Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, like, fucking, like, 1999-looking, like, expressions with, like, bulging eyes and stuff like that, and, like, weird mouth faces and stuff. Like, I was laughing at certain parts, like, just because of, like, certain facial expressions were so, like, overdone and just looked really weird. But...
sorry, my daughter is yelling. I'm trying to figure out what the hell is going on. But but yeah, I was playing that one a little too, but other games took my focus this week that weren't Immortals. And I tried to get Justin to download it, but he basically said because it's not on Switch, he won't, which is ridiculous because he has a PC to do these things. And that game is Monster Train. And if there was a game made for Mr. Just-in-Time Carter. It is
While you're telling me about why I should play it, I will go on. Is it on Steam?
Yes.
I'll just buy it right now while you're sitting here talking about it. Right?
Thank you. So let me tell you about a game called Monster Train. So you are you're basically tasked with getting a train carrying one of the last remnants of the Flames of Hell back to the center of Hell so you can reignite the flame and bring back Hell. Angels and different various factions are trying to stop you, and you have battles on your way as you make your way across the map, and those battles are in the form of card game. And it's essentially a deck building kind of game, and it's rad as hell. It is totally like a Magic style game where you have units, you have spells, you have modifiers, you have artifacts, all that you pick up along the way. You can modify cards as you go. The thing that seems really pointless at first, but become really important as you go along is, oh, you get to get rid of cards. Like, there's certain stations you come across where you need to get rid of cards as you go. And you at first are like, why would I ever get rid of cards out of this deck I'm building? But as you get more and more cards, as you go further and further along, you realize, oh, I'm never getting that one card I need, but I'm keep getting these damn cards that I don't need. And so you're like, oh, I need to jettison these cards and move on. It is incredibly fun. It's incredibly addictive. It has that just one more run, just one more run, just one more run. I still have not made it. I've gotten to the fifth level, I guess, and it gets impossible. So basically your train has like four layers on it, with the fire being at the top. And you have spaces to put units on the different levels, and they attack from the bottom and work their way up to the top. And if they hit the flame at the top, they attack the flame. And if they kill it before you kill them, that's it. Game over. But the units are really fun. There's different factions. There's a merfolk faction. There's like plant people. There's demons. You get to pick which one you want to start with. And even though your runs end, the units stay leveled up as you go, and you unlock more races to use and work those in, and you get better combinations, card combinations, things like that as you go. It is really fun. Like, it's just really damn fun. And it doesn't seem to have a multiplayer component to it at all. It's a single player game, but I think it is a game that Justin would absolutely lose his life to if he started playing it. So it's really damn good. And it's on Game Pass. If you have Game Pass on the PC, like Shannon looking at you, just download Monster Train. Just grab it. Just grab it, man. Just hit that download button.
I was actually just looking at it, and I was like, yeah, that looks legit. I think
it's a lot of fun.
So really, like, you played Slay the Spire, right?
No, I have never played Slay the Spire.
Okay, because like, I was gonna ask if it's similar to that, but like, sure. I would, if you play that on the Switch.
So when Zach told me about it the first time, I did look it up, and a lot of reviews and stuff I saw for it compared it to Slay the Spire and said that it took what Slay the Spire did and improved upon it.
Oh, yeah, this is an insta buy for me then.
I'm getting it. So that's like what I read, which I don't own Slay the Spire, but I have played it. So I know, because it is also very addictive and very similar in that fashion of building a deck, and you get rid of certain cards and get better cards. And so I'm trying to buy it right now, but I also don't know the security code on my debit card, and my wallet's in the other room. So as soon as I'm done with the podcast,
I will get
my wallet and purchase it.
I guarantee you will absolutely love this game.
Oh, I have no doubts. When I looked at the trailer for it, I was like, man, Zach is right. And that's like, I could buy it on PC, man. I was like, and it's gonna, I'm gonna be sitting there working and then be like, all right, one more game.
Yeah. Well, just one more. The other game I played after our game of the year, I picked up for the $25 is Bugsnax on the PS4.
Yeah, you did.
And Bugsnax is my kind of weird ass game, let me tell you. It starts out very much a Pokemon Snap kind of thing. You're taking pictures of bugs. You're seeing what they like, what they don't like. You're figuring out how to catch them. You're getting wacky inventions to catching them. And then you start digging into the stories of the people you're running into on this island and how they came to be what they're doing and why they're on the island to begin with and where the Lisbeth is, the person you're trying to find an interview about the Bugsnax, and the mystery just kind of every piece you get of the mystery kind of raises a lot more questions. And next thing you know, you're in a really adult game. Like there's a lot going on there with like, you know, there's a marriage has fallen apart. There's people battling crippling depression. There's all this stuff going on. People are getting bullied. There's like a gossip girl that is incredibly vindictive and mean. There's a conspiracy theory guy that's on the island, and you're just trying to figure out why the hell they're all there to begin with, and what's the hell's going on with these Bugsnax. And I end up texting Justin the other day. I was like, hey, does this game unlock after you beat it? Like, can I go catch Bugsnax after I beat this game? Because right now I've got a working theory about what's actually going on the island, and I just need to see if I'm right. Like, I just want to mainline the game at this point and don't really care about getting all the Bugsnax or getting all, you know, filling out the Bugipedia and all that stuff. Like, I got to see the end because this game gets fucking wild. Like, it gets like, and all of a sudden I'm sitting there like, I don't really want my kids watching this game anymore. And it is a game that 100% looks like it should be for children. And then you have the campfire parties that happen periodically if you bring people to the camp. And yeah, that ghost story one kind of wasn't cool. Like, it was one of those ones where I'm like, I'm really happy I'm playing this by myself. And like, I'm not having to explain to a 3-year-old what just happened here. So yeah, it's awesome. It's the game that got me to stop playing Monster Train because I'm just playing Bugsnax with all my free time right now. And I really want to play a lot more of it. So, Shannon, you going to grab yourself some Bugsnax or, Shannon there? Do we lose Shannon?
I believe, well, it says he's muted.
Mm. All right. Well, Justin.
Yes.
You have beaten Bugsnax, right?
I have beaten Bugsnax.
Does it get as buck wild as I'm expecting here?
Like,
without going into
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. Like, a lot, like when I was playing, a lot of my theories I had about what were going on came true. Like, mm-hmm. There was a couple things where I was like, is this what's happening? Is this what's happening? And then in the end, kind of when everything's explained, things that I thought were happening, but there was additional stuff I hadn't even thought of that they like unveil and stuff. And I was like, oh shit. And then after the credits and stuff, there's like an additional scene and stuff that you get to see. That's pretty cool. So I'm excited to hear your thoughts once everything is said and done.
Okay.
Are you going to be playing Bugsnax, Shannon?
Yes, I do want to play Bugsnax.
Yeah, you do.
But I don't. I mean, it's not on. It's only on PlayStation, right?
You can get it on PC. It's on PC.
Okay. All right. Then I'll have to get it on PC. Yeah. I'll have to try it. But, you know, now my backlog is starting to pile up because now I got Monster Train and now I got Bugsnax and I got to, you know, I got to stop playing Warzone.
I will say Bugsnax doesn't seem like the longest game in the world. Like, mm-hmm. I probably put 6 or 7 hours into it, and I feel like I've told you where I'm at, Justin. Would you say I'm past the halfway point at this point?
Yeah, I'd say you're almost there, because you said you were at the, like, the grump, like, the two grumpus, like, the bro dude and then the nerdy dude.
Because
you end up, you eventually, like, you get both of them pretty much, like, at the same time back to the island by, like, completing each other's stuff. They both go together.
Mm-hmm.
And then Have you gotten the farmer dude? Have you got his wife yet?
Yeah. Yeah, I got Tiffany back.
Okay, so you got her.
And I got Wiggle, the singer lady. Yeah.
Okay, then yeah, I think really after them, I almost want to say, I'm trying to think. I think you pretty much, you have only like maybe like two, I think, like two, maybe three Grumpuses left to get.
Yeah, and the one that Bethany accused of being a cannibal, I got to find her.
Yeah.
And then, which by the way, all of a sudden they're accusing other Grumpuses of being cannibals in this game. Like that's the kind of shit we're talking about. This game gets real, real. But yeah, so yeah, I think there's just two or three left after those. So
yeah. Cool. Cause then, yeah, once you get them all back to the campfire and stuff, like you guys all have like one big final party. And then it's like, once you have this party, there's no going back. Okay. And then you're like, okay. And then you go, and then the entire, like, end of the game, like, plays out.
All right. I'm very excited to see it. I'm ready. Let's do this damn thing. But, yeah, so I guess that's what we've been playing. Anything else you guys want to talk about or address before we wrap it up tonight?
No. I'm having a hell of a time watching Cobra Kai on Netflix. I really like that show. So, yeah. But if you guys haven't watched it yet, I suggest you get into it. It's pretty good.
I'll add that to the backlog of shows people tell me I need to watch and then I don't. So
yeah, I mean, I told you guys about where I stayed up till fucking like 3 a.m. just to literally watch all of season one. I started at like 7 p.m. or something and then watched like all the way through. Or no, it was like 10 p.m, whatever, each episode. But yeah, I haven't watched season two. Solely because I binge season one so hard that I'm like afraid to watch season two now because I know when I start, I'm not going to want to stop. And then with season three, like literally coming out, I think it comes out this week.
No, it came out on January 1st.
Oh no.
And now you're a season behind, dude.
I know. Well, see, now I can binge season two and then I'll sit on season three until season four.
See, there you go. It's the old delayed gratification, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Dude, I was like, speaking of which, I was like, Shannon, real quick, I guess before we end, a bunch of new anime starts this month too. Reincarnated as a Slime starts season two, and that starts again. Dr. Stone season two starts, and Promised Neverland season two. Which I've been waiting forever for Promised Neverland, and Zach looks like he wants to hang himself right now.
Oh, dude, real quick, can we talk about how horrible Wonder Woman 84 is? Did you watch that yet?
No, I haven't, and I'll be honest, I'm probably not going to anytime soon. Like, I don't really care.
Oh, dude, that movie is so bad.
Dude, it is awful. I feel bad saying this because I literally hold Wonder Woman 1. In my opinion, Wonder Woman 1 is the best thing DC's put out. And I feel so bad that it's like, I feel like Wonder Woman 1 is the best thing, and I feel like Wonder Woman 84 is literally the worst. It is literally bottom of the worst than Justice League. Like, I would rather watch Superman CGI lit over. It's 2.5 hours.
Oh, dude, I can't tell you how many times I stopped the movie and was like, fuck, we still have an hour and 45 minutes to go.
And I was like, is this a fucking Christopher Nolan movie? Like, why is this? You could cut 40 minutes out of that movie and you would be missing nothing.
Oh, dude, yeah, I just really want to go into like a spoiler heavy episode of that. Maybe we can get Robbie back for like a week and we can just go nuts on it, because I know Zach's never gonna watch this movie.
See, Robbie was like defending it when he
I know, and that's what's gonna be funny is because he's gonna sit there and try to defend it and we're just gonna poo-poo all over it.
Yeah, I don't know how you can defend it. Like, there's literally nothing good about that movie except like I said, the best thing, I will go on record and say the best thing about the movie is the 80s wardrobe. They nailed that. Like, she looks great throughout the entire movie in different pantsuits and whatever. Like, they really drove home the, like, 80s, like, vibe of, like, what people were wearing and, like, doing and stuff. That was great. Everything else about the movie, though.
To be fair, not hard to make Gal Gadot look great.
I mean, point taken.
I don't know. There were a couple moments where it was close. You know, but I'll tell you I know it's a PG-13 movie, and it does take place right in the middle of the 80s. I did not see one cocaine reference in that movie at all. Not one cokehead running around. but, you know, hey, that's just me.
Not a lot of stock trading happening in that movie, apparently.
Not a lot of parties either. A lot of, like, you know, upscale, high-class parties that people go to, but not a lot of Wonder Woman's not slumming it in the 80s.
Gotcha. Well, I would hope not. She had 50 years to get her finances together by that point, so.
Yeah, you know, working at, but, you know, she's still got the same job working at the museum. Like, I mean, dude, like, isn't somebody going to be like, you should be aging, right? Like,
yeah.
Dude, and then, like, the way they, like, finagled her boyfriend back into it, I was like, dude.
Oh, dude, don't even get me started on that. Like don't
that was one of the worst parts of the movie for
she
me.
She was just kind of like, yeah, I'm cool with this. I'm like, let's roll with this. Okay, let's do this.
That and, like, the villains for that movie, it sucked. Like, their motives were awful. Mm-hmm. The CG on Cheetah, whatever, was awful. It was, like, Cats level, like, bad.
Yeah, she looked like Chitara from the from what was it, the what's
Thundercats?
That? Yeah, Thundercats.
Well, that's what I didn't understand. I'm like, dude, if you're gonna do CG, might as well just go full fucking CG for her. Like, I don't know why you're doing like CG over like this person. Mm-hmm. Like, it just looked horrible, and I'm just like, man. Yeah.
I mean,
someone loved Taylor Swift in Cats and was like, we can do that.
Yeah. Let's give us a trashier, like Taylor Swift Cats with mange. Let's just do that.
Mange. Nice.
Yeah, the special effects didn't seem that good. Like, my girlfriend was all about the first 10 minutes of that movie. She, like, leaned in and she was just like, yes, this is the movie I want. And I said, hold on, same. This is a DC movie.
That's, so the first 10 minutes of the movie, I was actually praising how good, like, the movement and stuff, because it was, like, Athens, so, like, you know, they were, like, the Amazons, and they were, like, competing and, like, doing flips and stuff, and I was actually praising it because I was bitching about Mulan, about how in Mulan, everyone looked like they were attached, like, when she does flips off buildings and stuff, obviously she's attached to a wire, like, there was no, like, she's just, like, flying through the air at that point. It was, like, laughably bad. And I was like, dude, this is how it's done. Like, this looks great. And then after that scene, it was like they were like, well, we used all the budget on the first 10 minutes there. So now we're just going to green screen and then use wires for everything else. And then it became Mulan, like, level bad. And I'm like, dude, why?
Yeah, that whole scene in Saudi Arabia was, like, when they're laughable. Going after the convoy. I couldn't even watch it anymore after that point. It was just, oh.
That's where I paused the movie to check and see how much longer, and then I realized there's still, like, 90 minutes left of the movie. I was like, why?
Yeah.
Good times.
So bad.
All right, Justin, why don't you take us on out of here? Wrap us up.
All right. You know what, guys?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast, especially, you know, we started off with some drunken stories and ended on, you know, Wonder Woman 84, which was a drunken mess of a movie. So thank you guys for slogging it with us through it. You know, if you haven't listened to the Game of the Year episode about some of the games we were talking about, you can go to Spotify, go to Apple Podcasts, you know, check out those episodes. If you're on Apple and you want to give us a review, you know, give us a review. Just type in what you think. Hit the submit button. It's as easy as 1, 2. And while you're at it, you know, you can go to the Discord. A lot of shit talking there. And you can go to the Facebook group, too, which has been a lot more active thanks to Mr. Platinum. So go over there. I believe, too, if I'm correct, Mr. Platinum, and you're listening to this, since it is the beginning of the new year, it is time for a new Facebook group banner. I know a couple were submitted, so pick one, put it on up. That Bacon Life has had its run. Shannon moved it down. He'll have to eat something else gross for me to make another banner of, which shouldn't be hard. I'm sure next week I'll have plenty of material to work with. And Zach, if Robbie was here, what would he say?
He would say, hey guys, go be great.
I think there's some turkey with some white mold on it I'm going to eat.
You go throw that in a pan and cook that bad boy off.